You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, Mr. BJ Armstrong. How's it going, my brother?
Mo, it's going fantastic. I'm just, you know, doing what I do, talking a little basketball, I'm getting in regular season shape, Mo. Mm-hmm. I'm getting in regular season shape.
I'm here.
We're working out the kinks for the new year.
Before we begin, congratulations are in order to our friend of the show, Mr. Jamal Crawford, who this season will be calling the games on the MSG Network for the New York Knicks. So,
awesome.
Congratulations, awesome Jamal. Yeah, I don't think he's going to be with TNT anymore, but this means he's doing more games, more reps. And,
yes,
you know, I loved his play-by-play when he was on TNT, and I'm super happy for him.
That is fantastic. He is a up-and-coming star. Well, he is a star now in the media world. And that's awesome that he's working in front of an audience like New York. And hop off the New York Knicks, so... We'll have our insider this year. We'll have our insider.
Okay. Well, I would say he's got big shoes to fill, but I'll say he's got crazy outfits to fill because he's going to be filling in for Walt Frazier on the Knicks broadcast, who turned 79 this year.
No one can replace Walt Frazier. So we're not going to ask Jamal to do that. But his insight, we will be craving his insight. So that'll be fantastic.
It'll be fantastic. Now, you know, BJ and I recorded yesterday's show, and after we recorded the show, we were still talking, we were watching some of the games. We watched a little bit of the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, a few things stood out to me. I want to talk today about BJ's favorite subject, Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, fabulous, fabulous.
Because as we were watching that game, what did I say? I said, there was like, second quarter, there was like a 6-minute stretch that we watched. And he made six passes to six open teammates, who proceeded to just miss shots completely. And I said, well, when they get better teammates around him, he's going to be, it's going to be over. But then there was a moment in that game where he has an open cut to the basket. He's wide open, going to the hoop, and Harrison Barnes just completely ignores him. And for the first time in his career, I just saw visible frustration from Victor Wembanyama. He was not happy. And it's preseason, and they're working out the kinks on their team. But San Antonio, you're on the clock. You're on the clock now. So today I was scrolling through the internet and I saw a Sports Illustrated feature and it was 10 questions with Victor Wembanyama. And a few of them were pretty interesting to me, BJ. So I know you don't really use the internet, so you probably didn't see it. So we're going to go through a few of them. And the first question you of all people is going to love, because they asked him for his four favorite Star Wars characters. Now, as you are a wannabe Jedi yourself, can you guess his four favorite Star Wars characters?
I have no idea. It's a different timeline.
Use the Force. They're not characters from the new Star Wars, don't worry. They're from the classic six movies.
Okay.
Six, right? Okay. The three old ones and three kind of newer ones, and now they're all the new stuff.
Yoda has to be on the list.
You guess the four, then I'll tell you.
Okay. Darth Vader has to be on the list. I'm going to say probably for him, Han Solo is probably on the list. And Chewbacca, because he's so tall.
Well, BJ, you were one for four.
Oh gosh,
one for four. The Force is not strong in this one. No. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Anakin Skywalker.
Okay, Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader, so that's on the list.
No, that's a technicality. They're two very different characters.
Hey, I'm a Star Wars fan. You can't say that. They're not two different characters.
Star Wars Episode One.
So who's his list? Anakin,
Luke, Obi-Wan, and Han Solo.
Obi-Wan Kenobi and Han Solo. Okay.
Who would be your four favorites?
Okay. My favorite?
Your favorites.
Is Yoda for sure. I mean, Yoda is like just God, he put me on the spot.
Come on.
All right, Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, Yoda.
Darth Vader, Yoda. Well, that's too hard. Well, you can't.
No, come on,
you
man.
Can't
put me on. Come on. It's easy.
You know, it's not. It's not easy. I can do it.
It's easy. Yoda. Yoda. Jar Jar Binks.
No, that's comedy value.
That's comedy value. Yoda. Jar Jar Binks. I like Qui-Gon
Jar Jar Binks. Why Jar Jar Binks?
He's funny, man. He's the funniest character in the whole thing. And then who's the third one? The third one I'd have to go. By the way, if you tuned in for basketball, we're going to get to the basketball in a sec. The third one. Oof. Third one is tough. Qui-Gon Jinn.
Okay. All right. Here. Okay. Yoda for sure. Darth Vader. Those are like for sure. You can't watch Star Wars and that. Okay.
It's your favorite. You know.
Okay. But my favorite is Qui-Gon Jinn.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like my favorite Jedi. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because he had the Celestial color lightsaber.
Yeah, and then Lando is also my favorite.
Do you know who my favorite is?
Who's that?
Padme Amidala. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Lando, what is it, Carlisian or something? That's like, and you got to go Qui-Gon. I mean, Qui-Gon was just, I mean, he was, yeah, you know, he was, but it's so many, you know? I mean, how could you not like Palpatine? You know, you gotta like Palps. I mean, Palps is like
you got nicknames for him.
Yeah. You gotta have. You know, Mace Windu gotta be like. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many. You know,
Jabba
I mean?
The Hutt.
Jabba. You know, I mean, it's just so many characters, but I can respect that. I respect Luke. I respect that. But okay. you gotta have Palps. I mean, Palps has gotta be up there. I mean, I could talk, you know me, Mo. I can talk. I got a whole collection right here, right? I got a whole collection.
Instead of Palpatine might be one of the ugliest characters, but they did move on to basketball questions. They asked him what would mean more, winning an NBA championship or an Olympic gold medal?
Oh, Olympic gold medal for him for sure.
Because it's rare. That's what his logic was. You can only win two or three of them in your whole career. Because he thinks you can win an NBA championship every season.
Yeah, I learned that having, you know, playing with European foreign players, that for them to win a gold medal, Mo, would be like an incredible, I mean, hopefully it never happens, but it's probably going to happen in our lifetime. Yeah, I mean, that you're going to see someone else win the goal, you know, in basketball. But I think it's just a matter of time before it happens, though.
Okay. And here's the one that I really want us to talk about. The biggest surprise for him in his rookie season.
Oh, okay. Let me think about this.
You must have saw the quote from this question, though, because it was everywhere today.
I didn't. Actually, I've been gone all day. Go ahead. Share it with me.
It was his disappointment that some players don't put in as much work as he thought they did on their game.
Okay, I want to say something to Mr. Wembanyama. I'm going to say something because it happens to all of us, Mo. And I remember my first day of practice. You know, I dreamed of playing in the NBA. And I didn't realize it until years later. The most important thing, and I say this with all due respect, never ever meet your hero.
You I never met want you, to meet it you. Was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're still here. We're still doing this.
Yeah. You never want to meet your heroes. You never ever want to meet your heroes because it's going to be a disappointment. And that's what I think is happening with him, as it happens with so many, you know, it's like one of those things I learned that I wasn't the only one that felt that way. Like when I wanted to get to the NBA, and then I got here and I was like, oh, like, oh, so that's not surprising. It's a very natural occurrence. I think it's a sign of you adulting, if you will. Is that a word? Adulting?
Yeah, adulting. Yep. That's how I feel, you know, when I do the laundry and take out the garbage and
as you become an adult, you all of a sudden you realize what you thought was going on was always different from how it really is. So I think that's normal. I can respect that. I respect that answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you got to the league, were you surprised at, did you think guys would be putting in more work on their games than they actually were when you got to the league? Without saying
if I'm being,
names.
If I'm being radically honest with myself, yes. Because I thought, you know, I was that kid, Mo, that believed when they said you had to go to bed by 8. I believed that you had to eat healthy food. I believed that you had to work out and that it was so hard to get to the NBA. And if you weren't working, someone else was. Well, I didn't realize, Mo, that, yeah, they're working. They just might not be playing. They might not be playing basketball. And I realized, Mo, that, I mean, look, some of the diets that some of these guys had, right? You know, I'm not saying I was like perfect and clean, but Mo, I for the most part, Mo, as you can see, you and I've eaten. I still try to, if we start comparing, which I don't compare, but if you compare, you know, like I try to eat a balanced diet, right? Most, some guys are eating hot dogs, cookies, McDonald's, you know what I mean? Nothing's wrong with McDonald's, but fast food, I should say, right? Because, you know, I like McDonald's, but
I don't.
Fast food. Guys have 4% body fat, play like, and, you know, it is what it is, you know? And so I was like I was shocked about how, you know, everyone's not following what I thought, you know, as far as, you know, and there's nothing wrong with fast food. I enjoy fast food. When I have kids, and we're constantly, not constantly, but we take advantage of the fast food, that we do that. However, we have a balance. But I was really surprised when your primary diet is fast food and you're still playing in the NBA and you're still being effective in the NBA. Okay. So I was a little taken back by that, but you learn, you know, everyone's different. Everyone's role and style and adjustment is different.
Yeah, everyone talks about Derrick Rose and his love for eating candy and skills.
I mean, you know, I've seen a lot and it's just, you know, it just is what it is. I'm a huge advocate of having a healthy diet, getting your proper rest and all those things. But I wouldn't be telling our audience the truth if I said, listen, your favorite player probably is eating a lot of junk food.
Yeah.
That's what you do, you know, and it's nothing wrong with that, but it just is what it is. And you know, you just try to, listen, it's just some people are just a mystery. They have bad diets and just got great body types. And then other people eat right and they look at a cookie and they gain weight.
I feel recognized right now. I feel very validated right now.
I mean, it's just how it is, you know, it's not, who said life was fair, but I will say this, you know, you just try to, you do the best you can. That's all you can ask for.
Absolutely. Well, another question was about his training going into next year. And he said that they're not drastically changing anything. His training's just evolving, but there is more in the weight room. Do you think he needs to add a significant amount of muscle, Victor Wembanyama, in the weight room as he progresses throughout his career? Or do you think the kind of frame he has now and maintaining that will be able to carry him through?
Well, I am... You know, Mo, I playing in the NBA and all of these things, you know, Mo, I just hope that all players listen to this, right? This is just, I don't give a lot of advice, and I'm careful with advice, but I will share my experience. Your body type is your body type. And when I see players begin to put on, you know, I love it at the in preseason. You watch every game, this guy's put on 15 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, there's no way you can put on 15 pounds of lean muscle unless you're on steroids. I'm sorry, yeah, but okay, all the tweets and all the videos, they're lying.
Okay, so here's what, Mo, here is my, I'm just sharing. I don't like advice. I don't like the word advice. I just like to share what I've learned. If you're going to play in the NBA, professional sports, you have to be able to carve out your working space, and you have to be strong enough to be in basketball term, you have to be able to play on the ground and be able to maintain your space. Some players, right, are they have a naturally heavy frame. Some players have a narrow frame. You know, when I started looking at tall players, the first thing I always look at, I always remember this. I learned this from Kareem. I learned this from Robert Parrish, Bill Cartwright. They would always stretch. And I thought, wow, why would they stretch? Well, they have so much more body mass and so much more that can go wrong that when you're a big player, big players always play with their hands above their head, which puts you in a very vulnerable position. Okay? So whatever you have to do to be able to carve out your space on the floor, you do that. And the big thing is you learn how to be flexible because you're constantly getting hit, right, Mo? If you can imagine, if you will, imagine getting hit with your hands above your head. That's a different type of strength than you sitting there curled up, ready to hit somebody or bump into somebody. So learn how to have a natural, strong core. And I always look for bigs who have the ability to play with their hands above their head. That means you're rebounding the basketball. Like Dennis Rodman, for instance, is one of those guys that he has such a strong core and base that he could play against players that were 40, 50, 60 pounds heavier than him. Just because he has such a strong core, a strong base and hips, where he could really play and carve out his space on the floor. So with Victor, I just hope that he naturally grows into his body. That to me is the most important thing. When you start putting on weight unnecessarily at, you know, when you're 20, 21 and you start playing with unnecessary weight, right? I always look at the NBA as you're going on a long trip. You're climbing Mount Everest. Just take the essentials with you. You don't want to take, Mo, I don't want to carry 5 extra pounds on my back for no reason at all if they're not helping me. Do what you got to do and I hope the Spurs and I hope Victor and his team is listening. Just take what you need so that you can grow into your natural body type. Because when you start tinkering with that, something goes bad. I mean, Mo, you're putting 5 extra pounds on your knees for 82 games. That adds up, Mo.
I'm walking around with 200 extra pounds in my knees. I know it adds up.
just take what you need. So I hope he grows into it naturally, and I hope he's strong enough to carry the weight and play at the weight that he needs to play it against the opponents. That's why I always, you heard me always say last year, I hope he plays like at the power forward position because they're not as big as they are at the center position.
Yeah, that's what OKC is doing with Chet, and that's why they signed
Yes. Because when you're 220 pounds playing against Jokic and those guys are like 270, 280 at a minimum. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a lot. Okay, that's a big difference. You know, that's what I always concerned about Kevin Durant playing at the four position because he's always playing against people who are much heavier than him, even though he's a 7-footer. So I just hope he can grow into his body naturally. He's going to naturally pick up weight, but stay strong while you're picking up that weight so that it's a natural progression instead of a forced thing that you put on your hips and your body, your hips and your knees and your ankles.
Mm-hmm. They asked Victor, who's the best defender in the NBA? He mentioned Jrue Holiday. He mentioned Rudy Gobert, but he said, I think I am. It needs to be proven. but I think I'm the best.
Well, I listen. I don't know how you equate what's the best, right, at anything, you know, because is he the best on-ball defender? No. Is he the best weak side? Well, if he's able to recover, he should be able to recover better than anyone. He's the tallest guy probably in the NBA or one of. You know, there's a certain level of, you know, physical ability you have to have. You know, is he faster than Rudy Gobert? Yes. So he should be able to cover more ground in a short amount of time than Rudy Gobert. Now, what I will say is, do I think he is probably, I think he's probably the most versatile defender in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
On ball and off the ball. Now, that to me is that's a talent. You know, I remember watching Ben Wallace, for instance. Ben Wallace off the ball was just simply, I mean, he was just an incredible off the ball defensive player, right? I mean, he could help and recover and block shots and do all the things off the ball. And most great defenders are better off the ball. On the other hand, Jrue Holiday on the ball is as good as I've seen. I don't care what era. I was telling somebody the other day, me and some, you know, the old guys, we talk too, Mo. We get into our little group chats.
Okay.
And he said, one of the guys said, who do you think would be a great on-ball defender in our era? And we all said Jrue Holiday, because he's doing this and he can't even hand check. Imagine if he could hand check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a great on-ball defender without hand checking. Okay. Imagine if he could hand check you like we could with this ability. Bo, he would certainly be defensive player of the year. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Gary Payton, those guys were phenomenal. But I don't know how that would translate if you can't touch guys, impede their progress and do all their things. I'm just using them as an example. But, you know, there's different ways to defend, different strategies. But as far as versatility, Victor would be the most fascinating player, I will say this, that I would have ever had to play against because of his versatility on the defensive end. I think, Mo, at some stage during his career, which could be next year, where teams are going to have to alter and they're going to have to alter their offensive scheme just for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Mo, he's going to be so disruptive, Mo. I mean, I didn't play against Bill Russell, but I would imagine he will probably be the 21st century version of Bill Russell.
That's a big compliment.
Yeah, I really, you're going to have to game plan. You can't allow him to be on the weak side. You can't put him on the strong side because he'll disrupt that entire side of the floor. So I think you got to keep him in some type of movement so that he can't always see man
and ball,
man in the ball all the time. Because you can't just jump over him all the time.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be, you're going to have to learn how to game plan. At some point, Mo, I'm just going to call it. At some point during his career, teams are going to have to alter how they play offense because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to say that in the NBA because he's going to be that disruptive. You can see it already, but I think you're going to start seeing teams just say, hey, we're playing against the Spurs. We got to play a different style because of how he's going to be a defensive juggernaut. He's really going to be that good.
Absolutely. Well, the final question that I have that I want you to guess. They asked him, if you could have a former NBA player as a teammate, who would it be? I was hoping that he said BJ Armstrong when he answered, but he didn't. So you can guess who he
said. If
you
could form a player?
A former player.
Oh.
To be his teammate. Anyone from NBA history.
I'm going to say he's going to be politically correct and say Tim Duncan.
No. I'll give you another clue. You will be very, very happy about this answer.
Jordan?
No. Just think about what we've been talking about on a show recently.
I have no idea.
Oh, BJ, it was less than 24 hours ago. Will Chamberlain.
Oh, yeah.
His answer was Will Chamberlain.
Oh, you know what? Pretty good. That's pretty good. You know what? I should have.
You should have remembered the episode we did 23 hours ago.
Yeah. I was thinking more of a mindset, you know, like.
Yeah.
Because I haven't. But you know what? Will Chamberlain would be. Because Will Chamberlain was such an amazing athlete. Like, you know, we talk about play. Will Chamberlain was like 7'2", 7'3". I mean, he was just an incredible athlete. Yeah, I could see that. I really can see that. That, you know, good for him. That means he's studying. That you
it
know
might
that's
mean he's
good.
Listening to the podcast.
No, that's a great. Hey, Will Chamberlain is a great comp. That's a great comp. The only other player, I think I told you this. When I saw Victor Wembanyama play in the United States for the first time, immediately after the game, I called Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
I think I told you this. I don't know. Maybe we talked so much. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I called Ralph Sampson and I just talked to Ralph for like 45 minutes or so after the game to tell me what I just saw and how to deal with the size and all those things. Ralph Sampson is the only player, only comp that I had in my mind that came to me when I first saw him play here in the United States, because that was the first time I saw him playing against a G League team here in the United States. And, you know, I'd seen him play in Europe and the FIBA rules, but I was like, oh, let me see what's going on here. And you could see the spacing of the game, and you could see Big Ralph. Like, I just saw, like, flashes of Big Ralph.
Well, you know? What's interesting is, remember when we tried to build your 2K player and you were trying to build Wembanyama, and it gave you a Ralph Sampson comparison?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I and Ralph, you know, for all the younger audience, you know, look up Ralph Sampson before his injuries. Oh man, he was. Ralph Sampson could have been the greatest player to ever play. That's how good he was. That's how good he was. He was shooting jump shots and doing things before we knew that bigs could shoot threes, you know. He already had a jump shot. He already had a handle. He defensively, he's one of the first players in the modern era that I saw block Kareem's skyhook. You know, like, I know Wilt had done it, but I didn't see that. When I saw Ralph do it, I was like, whoa, nobody can block that, you know, and he did it. Him and Hakeem Olajuwon, when you say Twin Towers, that was a real Twin Tower. I mean, Ralph Sampson was, his trajectory was to be the greatest player or one of the greatest players to play if he wouldn't have gotten hurt. I think he would have been that impactful on both sides of the ball. And I think Victor has a chance to do that as well.
You mentioned Twin Towers. If you could put another big, either power forward or a center next to Wemby, and obviously you can't say like Jokic or Embiid because it's never going to happen that their teams let them go. But is there anyone in the league you look at and you think, well, if you just put them with Wemby, that it would just be completely crazy?
Well, the one thing I can say about Victor in watching him, and again, when I see the Spurs, when I see the Spurs, I know Pop just runs because I just ask him every question.
Oh yeah, he don't want to see.
When he sees me, he goes, "Oh, there's that crazy guy BJ again, right?" I just because I truly don't know what Victor is, and when you watch the Spurs, you can see the Spurs are allowing him to figure out what he wants to be, right? You can't just say Victor Wembanyama is a five and put him there. You can't say he's just a four and put him there. You can't just say play the perimeter on a three. You got to figure out you got to figure out, you know, like.
But who would you put next to him if you were the coach or the GM?
I don't know right now, Mo. I really don't. Because I don't know what he is. Like, everyone else is like a position.
So
I don't know what Victor is.
What if you put like a Steven Adams next to him, right? and you ran that 4-5 screen roll.
I don't know if you can.
Because those Steven Adams screens, whoever is trying to guard Victor, once they get hit by a Steven Adams screen, it's done.
I remember this in the bubble. Remember the bubble?
Oh yeah, yeah, Disneyland.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember this, but the Denver Nuggets played a game where they just had like all bigs on the floor.
Yeah. I remember Paul Millsap and those guys were all on the team at the time.
And I watched in amazement that Jokic was able to handle the pressure and do the things and move the ball. And I thought, golly, did I underestimate this player? like he wasn't, it wasn't unnatural for him. Okay. Mo, Victor Wembanyama doesn't need to outlet the basketball to run a fast break. He doesn't have to rebound and outlet it. When he rebounds the ball, that should be your trigger to just get down to the other end of the floor. Because not only can he pass, Mo, he can pass off the dribble, and he has speed and quickness. Now, the reason that's important is because if you have post lane runners in front of him, Mo, he's passing the ball at a height no one else is at. So it's not like someone's going to block the lob pass when he decides to throw it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The lineup was, by the way, if anyone wondering, it was Nikola Jokic at point guard, Jeremy Grant as shooting guard, Bol Bol and Paul Millsap as the forwards, and Mason Plumlee as the center.
Okay. I remember that. And I thought, wow, maybe I'm looking at the future of the NBA. And I thought, this guy, Jokic, can actually initiate and deliver and run an offense. And the only thing is,
defense.
But you don't need to be, he's just not fast enough to like beat you off the dribble, but he can pass it up ahead and he can do all those things. But he, you know, he's not like Victor where he can get, and he can run by you. I mean, Victor was catching it, you know, and he'll get by you. He'll nutmeg you. I mean, Mo, he
yep,
was
there. Yep. I saw that.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. Mo, he's got like trick. Mo, he was working out with our friend Jamal Crawford. Just
scary.
What I'm saying. Exactly. So I think, Mo, at some point, I would love to see him play with other people his size. I would love to see that just because, Mo, he's good enough offensively, skill-wise, to not only dribble the basketball, he can deliver the basketball, and you can play through him, you can play off of him, you could do a lot of things. So I think it's inevitable that you got to put 3 or 4 other 7-footers with him and let him play.
That's crazy.
And I don't see it being a problem because he is that good. Just like if you put him in Jokic, can you imagine? You're seeing Jokic play with Aaron Gordon. Imagine if he was playing with Wembanyama. Now, Mo, because they pass the ball so well. You know what I'm saying? If you can find another big that can pass like he can pass, it's just going to be unfair because who can play in that area? Mm-hmm. Like, Mo, they're playing above you. You know what I mean? They're just like passing. They're like treating us like we're like like toddlers or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it's going to be inevitable that you got to play with other tall players with him. And then they'll figure it out. If he gets another all-star caliber player, like a Scottie Pippen type player that plays mm-hmm. alongside him, someone like that, Giannis,
mm-hmm.
it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Mo, it's over. Giannis,
Wemby
and
Giannis would be. No,
that's what I'm saying. It's over. Mo, it's over. Because that's what I'm saying. Like that to me would just like, when you say, like, I want to see something I've never seen before.
Yep.
You want to see that, you know? And so that to me is, I don't think you can say Steven Adams, and Steven Adams is a really good player. I think you got to put other people that plays to his strength. His versatility is his strength, but he can do so many things. If you put Kevin Durant next to him, I mean, Mo, if you put Wimby, Kevin Durant, and Giannis, that's your front court.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. But maybe in 2025, we can get from the link in our bio.
You never know, Mo. You never know in today's game.
Anything is possible. But that is another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. BJ, hopefully you got all the Wembanyama talk out your system, but I have no doubt on tomorrow's show you will find a way to bring him up again, and I look forward to it.
Yes,
we'll be back with more tomorrow. We should answer some questions from the people. We should answer some of their questions. Let's get some questions in, and we've got to get Scotty P back on the show because we've been missing him over here.
Yes, we do.
Let's answer some questions and let's keep it rolling. The NBA season is just a few days, 5 days away now.
Let's do it.
All right. Until next time, you guys subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And most importantly, get buckets.